very happy Wednesday morning, everybody. Wednesday, January 18, 2023. Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel. This podcast brought to you by the Snoot Factory, www.thesnootfactory.com. Tom Drake here. Who else would be involved in this? Still struggling with this vocal issue. We are in Miami shortly. I'll be going to an urgent care center because it's urgent. I get something to get this thing back to normal because I perform later on tonight for the new people, or the fresh meat, as I say in the industry. We are arriving in Miami, and I'll tell you what, the skyline of Miami is nothing short of magnificent now. It really is beautiful, but it's also very crowded, and it's also very expensive. I don't know who's buying these condos, but as we say in New Jersey, my own, some of the numbers for these things are unbelievable. I don't know where they're coming from. I don't know who wants to live down there. I mean, look, the Miami Beach, South Beach, okay, but downtown Miami, not for me, but that's okay. It's for other people. But we are in Miami today, turnaround day. These guests leave, new guests come on. We're on our way to Panama City. It's a 10-day cruise where we touch in the Caribbean and Roatan and those places, and then we go through the canal. We stop in Panama City. We stay overnight twice. Two overnights. That's beautiful. The guests on this cruise leave, new guests come, then we turn around and bring it right on back. And at the end of that cruise, 20 days from now, I am going on vacation, and I will be home. I will be home working in my studio in sunny Central Florida, so I don't have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to record this in the card room because honestly, I can't wake up the cruise director in order to do this nonsense. Anyway, thanks for listening. We had a great cruise. This is just satisfying me. Great cruise, this 7-day cruise. Great guests, great people, great entertainers. Michael Miner here. Nothing but fun. Oh, there it is. I got a message. Where's the duck? Where's the duck? For first-time listeners to this podcast, Tom Drake. Drake is a duck. The duck is our logo. The duck has a speaking part. Occasionally, that duck tells me when I'm just not making any sense and spinning my wheels and probably wasting your time talking about stuff you don't care about. So let's do it. Cue the music. All right, I read this at 3:30 this morning, and I started smiling. I talk about MSC Cruises a lot because they do something. They're always doing something. They're always building another ship, christening a ship, kissing another hull, bending a hull. They always, every day, their PR people do nothing but put out press releases. Well, this is revisiting a story. In December, they christened the Seascape in New York City. They have a big event. They do everything big. They should be based in Texas. They do everything big. And at the time, all their executives spoke. They spoke to the travel agents. And these guys brag. My, as we say in Jersey, motto, can they brag? Unbelievable. So, and according to one of the executives at the presentation, the goal of MSC Cruises is to become the largest cruise company in the world. They're not hiding it. They want to be the biggest. They're not fooling around. And they said they started their cargo operation. MSC, you see, they're everywhere. MSC cargo everywhere. They started with one ship, and now they're the largest container shipping company in the world. So they say. I don't have time to check this. But according to Achille Stiano, I assume he's Italian, Achille, like Achilles' heel, Stiano, he's the vice president of global sales for MSC, and he said, hey, look, we're already the dominant cruise brand in Europe, South America, and South Africa, and now we intend to be the biggest in North America. If he is the dominant brand, it's simply because they deal in non-English speaking customers, and that basically, you know, unless it's TUI with Germans or the French cruise line, it's a pain in the neck if you have 6-5 languages. You know, I was on MSC, and I was introduced in 5 different languages: English, French, German, Portuguese, Italian, I don't know, maybe Spanish, I can't remember. My introduction was longer than my show. They have to get rid of that if they're going to make it to the United States. These people, I don't care the price. Americans aren't bending to what they want. You bend to what Americans want, or they go somewhere else, and there's a lot of places to go. Now, they have 5 ships coming in North America in 2023, and then going into 2024, and they're very, very confident, let's put it that way. And I'm told they're dropping all the languages. As an example, I don't know if this is corporate information or not. We have 600 guests this cruise, and almost everyone was U.S., United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. Maybe 49 people spoke English as their second language. Everything is spoken in English here. The announcements are in English. Over there, everything's done in 5 languages. It's annoying. So hopefully they're going to fix that. Now, according to Stiano, Achille Stiano, they have 16 ships in Europe this summer, 2023, because they do. know, they have French and Italian and German and Portuguese, everybody on there. And they intend to have more people. They're going to handle over 4 million passengers this year, and they're going for more. And according to Kilistano, what they're targeting in the North America market is the cultured cruiser. I love this statement. Oh my God, these guys. And he describes the cultured cruiser as sophisticated voyagers, open-minded explorers, and learning families. I don't know what the hell that means. Everybody wants that, whoever, whatever it is, you know. And according to Ruben Rodriguez, who's the president of MSC Cruises USA, he said there are 32 million people in the United States who fall into that category. I'm looking at this morning with a cup of coffee. I'm thinking there's, what, 335 million people in the United States? He says there's 32 million people that are cultured. So 10% of the people that live in the U.S. are cultured, and the rest are what? What are they, stumble bums? Anyway, I wonder if I'll ever work for this company again. I hope they don't listen to this podcast. Listen, I give them all the luck, and I wish them all the luck in the world. I was on the MSC Mirabigli. It's a big, beautiful ship, but this is the U.S., baby. Yeah, you're in a whole different... I've been doing this for 28 years with Americans. You're in for a little shock there, Achille. Anyway, now, according to Rodriguez, who's the president of MSC Cruises USA, the reason that MSC is different is because of the European heritage and international character, and that's the problem, okay? You just gotta... No. If people want to hear other languages, they get off the ship in Europe or they get off the ship in South America. But when they're on a cruise ship, the United Americans, they want to hear English. They want to be taken care of in English, and they want to feel like they're in America. Whatever. And listen, New Yorkers on a ship can be loud, but nobody's louder than Brazilians. And you're on a ship, you got 500 Brazilians. Bring the earplugs. All right, be nice, Tom. Come on, be nice. I know it's hump day, but I shouldn't act like a hump. All right, let's get to it. Sustainability. You know me, I talk about it every day because it's in the news every day. And the port of Stockholm, Stockholm, Sweden, lovely place. They received the green light from the EU grant funding application. People, in other words, the European Union is going to give money to study shore power. They're just going to study it. That's how it works with government. You study for a while, then you think about it for another while, then you put it on a bid for a while, and eventually you get around to it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, shore power is the ability of a ship, whether it be a cargo ship or a freighter or a tanker or a cruise ship, to pull into port. They call it docking. I saw, hey, we pulled in, dock it, and then plug in. Put your plug in the outlet, you know. And not many, as I've said many times, I believe there are 16 ports in the world that have that ability. Yet they're building ships with the ability to plug in, but there's no place to plug it. It's the California approach to ports. So anyway, now the Port of Stockholm, they're actually going to do the study for other places. The EU gave them money. They're going to be looking at shore power for places in Helsinki and Riga and Tallinn and Gdynia. Gdynia, get out of here. That's Poland. They have Gdynia and Gdańsk. I've been to both places. We were in Gdynia, and then we went to Gdańsk, and then we got out again. We got Gdańsk out again, and Hamburg. So anyway, this is very important for my greenies and my wokers, the people that feel the planet is going to explode by next Tuesday. They're going to, if they plug in, they shut off their diesel engines, and they don't gas everybody to death. Now that we've been pulling in there with ships forever, and so far everybody's still alive, but you know how it goes. All right, move on, Tom. I'm not playing the duck. Stop it. I saw this. Well, this is crazy. I saw this. I couldn't believe it, actually. The United States Department of Transportation has fined Virgin Atlantic $1.05 million. Not $1 million. $1.05 million. I don't know what the extra 05 was for. Because they flew over restricted airspace. They flew over Iraq. And you can't do that. Now, Virgin is not, you know, handled by the U.S. However, they were code-sharing with Delta. Bingo! The minute they were code-sharing with Delta, they fall under the umbrella of the Department of Transportation. This is what they teased. They teased this in the beginning of the year. They were going to be coming out with a big fine. Everybody wondered, who's getting fined? Who get fined? Well, Virgin got fined because in September of 2020 and 2021, a period between, I should say, that 1 year between September 2020 and September 21, they banned all flights over Baghdad in that area because there were heightened militia activity. And yeah, you can blow it out of the sky. Guy misses, you know, he wants to shoot, shoots it up. Whatever. And according to Virgin, they didn't know. Doesn't that scare you? They didn't know. They don't know you're not supposed to fly over Iraq? How would you not know that? Well, anyway, because they were co-chairing with Delta. Had they flown it out of Heathrow or wherever without Delta involved, they were off the hook. But now it's going to cost them $1 million. But it's not going to cost them $1 million, because they're going to fine them $1 million and then tell them they only have to make half the payment. Because if they comply with the provisions of the consent order, why wouldn't you? Why would you? Who the hell wants to fly over Iraq anyway? Anyway, if they do what they're told, they're only going to be spanked for $500,000, because they need that money to get safe to play kids. More aviation news here on a Wednesday morning on Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News podcast. You know, it's funny because I'm feeling like I'm doing radio again, which I did 30 years ago. So you're always saying things over because people are just tuning in. But I realize you downloaded this, so you're going, hey, move on, moron. Bob Jordan, you know who he is? Bobby. Oh, boy. Bobby Jordan's had a bad beginning of the year. He's the CEO of Southwest Airlines. And as you know, between December 20th and December 31st, the airline went Southwest. It just went south. Everything failed to work. Everything, their computer systems, their telephone systems, the ability to communicate with each other. They couldn't find their pilot. Couldn't, as we say in Jersey, I apologize for the language. For 10 days, they couldn't find their ass. So now they're trying to make up. And I guess they have a lot of companies that use Southwest all the time. So they're going to have one of those webinars or whatever, Jordanaires and other things. And Bob is going to, he's going to prostate himself. He's going to be down there going, look, you know, here's what we're doing now. We're setting up supplemental operational staffing, doing all the things they should have done for Christmas. This drives me crazy. I've been doing this for years on ships. And every New Year's, I don't care what cruise line I'm on, I don't care what ship I'm on, every New Year's they run out of ice, they run out of glass, they run out of soda. And I look at the bar staff and I go, are you surprised that it's busy? It's New Year's. Hey, Southwest, are you surprised it was busy? It's the Christmas holiday season. So they're going to improve their scheduling challenges and optimize their schedules. And oh boy, all this fancy corporate speak. Just be ready. I mean, they knew it was coming, the bomb cyclone. And the bottom line to this is everything I read about this. Bob Jordan was the IT guy at Southwest before he got to be the CEO of Doom. He knew better. He knew this thing was a mess, but they didn't put any money into it. And of course, he's also been heavily criticized, because that's what they do in the corporate world. He's being heavily criticized because they were intending to give about $500 million back to the stockholders in the form of a dividend. I have a feeling now that money will be invested in software and other programs that will allow them to operate successfully in the middle of a bomb cyclone and the busiest time of the year. So we'll see how it goes. And I don't know why I'm being so grumpy today, but you know, we'll call this Grumpy Wednesday. Yesterday was Meatloaf Tuesday. You know, because I'm picking up on what they do in the business world. You got to have some lingo. You got to have some hot button words, you know. So maybe this is Angry Wednesday, Hump Wednesday, because everything I read here, I get a little crazy about. Now, this is good news. Would you like some good news? Why not? We're 13 minutes into this podcast, and I haven't said a damn thing worth listening to. So hang in there, people. It's almost over. According to Analyst, including a analyst for Truist, T-R-U-I-S-T. I didn't have time to look this up, but I know this Truist Securities was another name, and they changed the name. Maybe it wasn't not Truist, but now it's Truist. I forget, it was a bank, and they came up with another name. I don't know why they do that either. You have all this money invested in T-shirts and pens, and suddenly somebody says, let's change the name. So anyway, one of the analysts for one of the security companies reported in Travel Weekly that the wave season for the cruise industry is it's a bigger wave than they thought. It's almost a massive Hawaii surf wave. If you don't know what wave means, it's the time of the year when they put everything on sale in the cruise industry, because after the first of the year, the business goes flat, because in the Greyhound and life jackets business, parents are broke. They spent everything on Christmas and Hanukkah, so now they're offering deep discounts, and it's really worked. It's according to one of the analysts here, in the first week of the wave season, sales were up 50% compared to the same week in 2019. That's pre-pandemic, 50%. Over 2019, you know why? Nobody cruised for 2 years, 2.5. And the other thing is, they're up, way up for 2024. Because even though everybody feels like the COVID is over, Let's book it for 2024 just to be safe. And where's the money going? Into the luxury market, in the disposable income market, the people that aren't really affected by inflation or the price of gas or the fact that eggs are $8. It doesn't bother them. They have their money, and hopefully they put it somewhere safe, although the market hasn't been too bad the last couple of days. But it looks really, really good for the cruise industry going forward. And so, honestly, you know, here, the guest on penthouse and concierge level, that's deck 8, deck 9 on this size ship, deck 7 and 8, they booked way into 2024 because they have to have this room. That's the room I always have. I can't be in another room. The pillows aren't the same. The view is the... No, absolutely. I have friends, they have to be in a Vista suite. That's it, or they don't go. So 2024 is hot because people know you have to book that far in advance in order to get the room that you want. You are learning so much about this industry that you don't really care about. I certainly appreciate the support. And we are 15 minutes into this thing on a hump day, so let me hump on out of here. Have a great Wednesday. I will talk to you tomorrow at sea. We'll be at sea tomorrow, and I will get some magic medicine in Miami today. I'm going to go to the Magic Medicine Miami place called the Urgent Care Center, where I'll be the only one speaking English, and I'll try to get somebody to help me, and hopefully I'll feel better tomorrow. Don't forget, you can find this anywhere, and you can subscribe at bestatsearadio.com. You can do that, and you'll get an email every day. But I was on Spotify yesterday, iHeartRadio yesterday, Apple yesterday, Google Podcasts, and I discovered when you go on there, I followed myself. I do that a lot, you know. I look behind me, I'm following myself. I followed myself on all of these sites. Now I get notified every time that this gets published. Now I'm gonna get like 22 notifications that this podcast is up. So you can go wherever you listen to your podcast and find Tom Drake's Daily Cruise and Travel News podcast and follow it, and you'll be notified. Or go to bestatsearadio.com, hit the subscribe button, and I will put you on the list sent out by Constant Contact. But you'll only be contacted once a day, so it's almost constant. Not all the time. It comes once a day, 6 days a week. Talk to you tomorrow.